When we encounter suffering or any kinds of trials in life, our first reaction, and so is our friends who are trying to help us, is to try and find a silver lining. What is a good that's there? What's the light that shines in the darkness? Hoping to find some glimmer of hope in the midst of all that so that things don't seem so bad. Yet today we're challenged to think almost the opposite of that. We started today with the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, this wonderful, happy event that quickly turned very dark as he died on the cross. And then, that's where we end, right there. He's dead in the tomb. There's no happy ending yet. There's nothing there except death, the darkness. And so we're stuck there, especially today, in the darkness. And the church in her wisdom makes us stay there for an entire week before we finally get to the moment of the resurrection. We see the light that comes from it. In the same way, we're being challenged to wade through the darkness. We're being challenged to find something different in it, to see some merit, some beauty, something that's already there that gives the darkness meaning. It gives it importance. And one of the starting places we can have is Peter and the apostles. Peter and the apostles were there when Jesus was crucified. But out of fear and out of concern for what was happening, they ran. They wanted to go somewhere comfortable. They wanted to go somewhere warm, the fire, somewhere where they could feel safe and secure again. And so the darkness was too much for them. They had to run. They had to go somewhere else. They weren't willing to confront it. They weren't willing to dive into it. Conversely, we have Mary and the women who followed Jesus every step of the way. They were there when he was scourged. They were there when they saw the whips strike against his back and blood pour down it. They were there as the heavy weight of the cross was laid upon him, and he dragged it along, falling because of its weight. He watched his footsteps all the way to the cross, where they watched the nails go into his hands and feet. They watched him gasp for air. They watched as he breathed his last and died. They were there in his agony and suffering. They were there in his darkness. They wandered the entire way. But they missed something, because even when he was put in the tomb, they waited there. They waited for some hope, something to happen. They weren't sure. Maybe it was just the darkness they sat in. But they didn't see what was going on. There was only one person in today's reading that really got it. He saw what was happening. It's the least likely person we would assume to get it. And that was the centurion, the Roman soldier who crucified Jesus and had to guard his body. That guy saw something different. As he'd already driven the nails in Jesus' hands, mounted him on the cross, and watched him die, he looked into the face of the afflicted one. He looked into the face of the agonized Jesus, and he said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Something about Jesus' suffering, something about the agony and the pain he went through, something about the darkness he experienced, made the centurion say something in such profound faith that here truly is the Son of God. It's also where we must be too. If we want to see something different, if we want to have meaning in our darkness, meaning in the struggles and agony of life, we must plumb its depths. We must wander its halls. We must explore its caverns and rooms. We must feel the coldness of its walls, diving deeper and deeper into the darkness. But eventually we get to its innermost room, the place of consuming darkness, where it feels like it's all around us, consuming us, overpowering us. And as soon as we get to that point, we realize something so very strange. At that point, the darkness is not all-embracing. It's very light. Because as we wander into that innermost room, as we sit in the darkness and the shadows, we realize something immensely profound. Jesus was already here.